And help us to give glory to His name this morning. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you turn to the book of St. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And while you're turning there, I'd like to remind you that Wednesday night begins our holiness convention here at the church. Wednesday through next Sunday afternoon. We will not be having a Sunday evening service next Sunday. Our afternoon service at 2:30 will be the concluding service of our convention. Brother Rich will be preaching in the evening services, and then he called me. By the way, we've got a change. He called me. He said Sister Rich wouldn't be able to drive. He's got to go to North Carolina to begin Sunday morning down there. And he said that Sister Rich wasn't able to do that drive after church. So he's going to preach. His last message will be Saturday morning. And so Brother Rich will be preaching Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday morning. And then there'll be visiting preachers with us during the day. Friday morning, Brother John Cordell will be here. Saturday morning, preaching with Brother Rich will be Brother Johnny Houston from down Sumter, South Carolina, young preacher out of Brother Tim Hudson's church. He's a good preacher, Brother Johnny Houston. And don't know about Saturday night yet, praying about that. Help me pray about that. I just got word from Brother Rich just shortly about that, so help me pray about Saturday night. Sunday morning, Brother Eddie Dean will be speaking the service next Sunday morning. Sunday afternoon, Brother Randy Webb from Richlands, Virginia. So keep those announcements in mind. Be much in prayer for the services. Come all you can. Make plans. Be worth your time. Take off a day or two and come to these services. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Verse 46, And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And I'm going to preach this morning with the Lord's help on the most famous mother. And you may be seated. The most famous mother. Mary is the world's most famous mother. Being the mother of the Lord made her a household name to generations. When she agreed to become the mother of the Lord, the mother of the Christ child, she knew that she would be remembered because of her offspring. She said, From henceforth, All generations shall call me blessed. Now, not all famous people have famous mothers. All of us know names like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, and we're familiar with Patrick Henry and Franklin Roosevelt. But I doubt if any of us know anything about their mothers. Maybe a few of you historians might, but most of us don't know anything about their mothers. They're household names, but their mothers are not famous. But God planned for generations to be acquainted with Mary. And the reason that he wanted generations to be acquainted with Mary is because she serves as a model of womanhood and motherhood. You see, Mary was a mother by choice. God really didn't make her be the mother of the Christ child. The angel came and made this announcement to her. She was engaged to be married to Joseph, and no doubt she planned to have children in her future. Every Jewish mother desired to have children. In fact, it wasn't just a desire, but it was a command from God. God had told them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And besides the command of God, they looked upon childbearing as being a blessing from God. That the mother, the woman who was blessed with children, was blessed of God. That children were an heritage of the Lord. And it fulfilled the command of God to be fruitful and multiply. You remember Jacob's wife, Rachel, when she could not have children, crying to her husband, saying, give me children or I die. So children were a blessing from God. Every Jewish mother wanted to have children. The announcement of the angel concerning the birth of Jesus, telling Mary, you are going to have a son, and this son will be the Son of God, it depended upon her assent. So in verse 38, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So she consented to let God use her womb to give Jesus, the Son of God, a human body and a human nature. She didn't impose no conditions. She offered no objections. She only wanted to know, how could this be that a virgin would be with child? She accepted the angel's explanation that the Holy Ghost would come upon her and the power of God would produce this child in her womb. She knew that God worked miracles. You see, her people's history were full of the miracles that God had done for them. So it was not amazing to her that God could perform a miracle and give a barren woman a child. He'd done that many times before. But this would be an exceptional miracle. She was a virgin before her conception. She would be a virgin after her conception and after the birth of that child. And besides the fact that she would be a virgin after his birth, also this miracle is heightened by the fact that her child is the Son of God. God in the flesh, as one man said, deity compressed to a span. God, a child, a baby, an infant. So this miracle is heightened by the character and nature of this child that she's going to have. It was a miracle never known before. It will never be repeated. Her consent, when she said, be it unto me as thou hast spoken, she was saying to this angel, I believe what you have said God wants to do through me. I believe God can accomplish that. Hallelujah. That I will be just as pure after the birth of my child as I was before his birth. And I believe that this child will really be the Son of God, God cloaked in flesh. It was an expression of faith when she said, "Be it unto me as you have spoken." Now, we know that Jesus was not the only child that Mary had. After marrying Joseph, she had other sons and daughters. In the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 54 and 56, the Bible says this: "When he was coming to his own country," talking about Jesus, "he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, 'Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joses and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?'" So the people at Nazareth, where Jesus was raised, were acquainted with his brothers and with his sisters. Mary had children after she had married Joseph. God made her like a fruitful vine by the sides of the house. So she was a fruitful mother in the house of Joseph. Many modern women would have found the announcement of the angel to be inconvenient at the least, and unbearable at the worst. It isn't that having no children is desirable. Most people want to have children. But in our society, other things are more important. So the modern woman is torn between home and the workplace. 42% of 40-year-old female executives in America are childless. And one half of women making $100,000 a year don't have any children. One half of women making $100,000 a year. Now you do the math. You're making $100,000 a year. Would you want to quit a job making $100,000 a year to bear and raise a child? So you're not only losing that income, but you are experiencing a rise, dramatic rise in expenses, so that you no longer can keep up with the latest fashions. You can't drive the fanciest vehicles. You can't live in the finest homes. Children require money, outlays, expenses. And besides all of that, look at the time they demand. They got to be fed, changed, bathed, rocked, burped, hugged. You got to constantly clean up after them. You got to comfort them, encourage them, talk with them, teach them, listen to them, read to them. You got to plan their birthday parties. You got to have their friends over. You got to take pictures. You got to keep a scrapbook on them, buy clothes for them, cook their food. Y'all following me? Shop for groceries, shop for clothes, wash their clothes, iron their clothes, tend to their wounds and hurts, pray for them, pray with them. Hey, the list goes on. You know, you could add to it. Who would leave a $100,000 job and have a child? Hey, losing $100,000 and having a baby, listen to me. You count the cost and bless your mother who had you, who sacrificed what she could have had in the world and said, "I'd rather have you." So you understand this morning why we honor our mothers. She chose to have you because you are worth more than a job. You are worth more than money. You are worth more than the finery of this world. Your mother said, you are worth something to me. So we honor our mothers. Hallelujah. Well, Mary was a mother by choice. You see? I mean, you count the cost. And mothers pay a price. It is quite a sacrifice. You see why we honor mothers? Then secondly, not only was she a mother by choice, she was a mother who sought to bless her children. Mary knew that she was appointed to serve as the mother of the Son of God. She accepted that responsibility to care for the needs of this Son, to provide a secure and a safe environment for Him. Not only a safe environment, but a sacred environment. Because this child, where's this child coming from? He's coming from the sacred courts of heaven, the holy home of God. And Mary is not only to provide a secure environment, she is to provide an environment as close as she can to the environment where He came from, a heavenly environment in the home. How about that? You know, I'm sure that Joseph and Mary, being righteous people, would have kept their home as clean. I'm talking about morally clean. Maybe the other way too, but probably the other way too. But morally clean, this child from the holy precincts of heaven will live in a home on earth that must not contradict the principles of the home where He came from. So, her home must be a little heaven on earth, as far as that is possible. And now listen to me, y'all hearing me? Are y'all listening to me? Every child, not just the Son of God, but every child needs a sacred home environment, a little heaven on earth. They need a home where there are gospel songs sung in honor to God. They need a home where there's praying is part of the environment of that home. They need a home where the Word of God is prominent in that family. It's read, it's studied, it's explained, and it's lived out before them. They need a home where love regulates the relationships in that family so that the family members encourage each other. They praise worthy actions. They express appreciation to one another. There's a spirit of peace and harmony in that home. God wants our families to be reflections of heaven. Every child needs a sacred environment in its home. Boy, that means that as mothers and fathers, we have not completed our responsibilities when we feed them well and clothe them well. There's a part of that child that money and possessions cannot satisfy. They need to have a sense of the presence of God in that home. When others, even His brothers, were criticizing Jesus and doubting Him, Mary, His mother, continued to believe in Him. Never do you read in the scriptures of Mary forsaking the Son of God. She sought to bless her Son. She never forsook Him. She went all the way to the cross with Him. when his disciples were running different directions for fear of the authorities, Mary stood by the side of her son. She was there at the cross. She went with him as far as she could. Every child should be able to feel the power of a mother's devotion and confidence. When a mother believes in a child, even when that child, you know, Mary had the unique experience of having a perfect child. How many of y'all ever had one? How many of you were one? No hands? Sure not? Well, Mary is the only mother that ever had a perfect child. Now you'd think that must have been an easy life. Think again. A perfect child? You live with a perfect child? This mother had a perfect child. It wasn't an easy life. He was different, very different. Reproached by the world. Rejected by men. Finally crucified on a cross. It was prophesied to her, a sword shall pierce through thine own bowels. She suffered with him. This child, this perfect child, this mother was devoted to her son. You know it matters. Hey mothers, it matters if your children know that mama loves me. Mama's going to stand by me. It doesn't mean that mama's going to approve of everything I do, but mama is going to love me through it all. Thomas Edison, y'all know that name, don't you? When he was a little boy, his teacher couldn't understand his odd ideas and behavior. In fact, she thought he was dumb. She sent a letter home to his mother and said, please keep Tom at home. He's too dumb to learn anything. He's wasting my time. Tom sadly handed the note to his mother, tears running down his cheeks. He told his mother, I'm sorry, I can't learn. His mother said, you can learn. And she said, we're going to learn, me and you. And I'm going to teach you. I'm going to be your teacher. And you can learn. Tom said, my mama believed in me. I decided I would learn if my mama believed in me. His mama set up a shop for him in the basement. He's always trying to invent things. And he's trying to invent things that make his mother's life easier. So she set him up a shop in the basement of the house. Gave him tools to work with. Encouraged him and helped him. Thomas Edison grew up, you know. You know him, don't you? Thomas Edison grew up. Became one of the world's greatest inventors ever. And before he died, he said, the reason I've been able to do so much is because of my mother's faith in me. Son, you can learn. We're going to do it. Susanna Wesley, y'all ever heard of Susanna Wesley? Let's see your hand if you've ever heard of Susanna Wesley, John Wesley's mother. You ever heard of Susanna Wesley? She had 19 children. 10 of them survived infancy. She was a very strict disciplinarian. She insisted upon obedience. Her husband was away much of the time. She insisted upon obedience from her children, believed it essential to conquer the child's will. Training began at birth. She had a rigid schedule, dressed them and undressed them at fixed times. Taught them to cry softly from infancy. The Epworth Parsonage, where they lived, even though it was full of children, was as quiet as if none were in the house. She kept those children on a schedule. When they first were born, they slept 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the evening. When they got a little older, 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening. When they got a little older, 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the evening. Finally, no naps. Rigid methods. Wonder where the Methodist Church came from. Somebody said John Wesley. Somebody said it goes further back than that, to Susanna Wesley. She was a Methodist. She made it a rule that no sinful act would pass without punishment. Acts of obedience were recognized, sometimes rewarded. Respect for the privacy and property of others were taught to her children. She instructed her children in prayer, taught them the catechism, that's the doctrines of the church, taught them the scriptures. She held family prayers every evening at 6 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, all the children had to have their bath. By 8 o'clock, everybody had to be in bed. On the first day of school, she's the teacher. On the first day of school, all the children are expected to learn their alphabet the first day of school. I think only one of them missed it. Took her day and a half. She's a born teacher. Once her husband sat in on a school session, counted the number of times she repeated a bit of information to one of her children. He said to her, "I wonder at your patience. You have told that child 20 times the same thing." She said, "If I had satisfied myself by mentioning it only 19 times, I should have lost all of my labor. It was the 20th time that did it." Susanna Wesley, what a mother. And what did she give to this world? In her boys, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, and Charles Wesley, one of the greatest songwriters the world has ever known. But now, you know, I just about know what some of you mothers are thinking. Who can be like Susanna Wesley? But I want to turn that thing around. And I want to ask all of us children, what valuable lessons did your mother teach you? How patient was your mother with you? How often did your mother say, "I believe you can do it"? How many times has your mother sacrificed for you? What kind of commitment did your mother show to you? Why is it that you and I have done as well as we have? Was there a mother who said, "I believe in you"? Was that somebody who loved you when things went right and when they went wrong? Somebody you knew would stick with you through thick and thin. You had a mother. Be grateful. Be thankful. Honor your mother. Third thing about Mary, last thing. She not only was a blessing to her son, she was blessed by her son. Look at this son of hers dying on the cross. It was literally true. While he was on the cross, she was on his mind. He spoke to her at the cross and said to her, "Woman, behold thy son." And to John, "Behold thy mother." He committed his mother into the care of his disciple John. On resurrection morning, Jesus appeared to his mother. One of the first ones that saw Jesus on resurrection morning was his mother. On the day of Pentecost, Mary was in the upper room. The Spirit of God was poured out upon her. She spake in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance on the day of Pentecost. She literally participated in the great plan of redemption. I mean, she brought the Redeemer into this world. She followed in his footsteps. She believed in him. She went with him all the way to the cross. She saw him when he arose from the dead. She was there in the upper room and was full of the Holy Ghost. This woman literally participated in the great plan of redemption. She enjoyed the blessings of that plan, the blessings poured out upon her by her divine son. So this woman who blessed her son was in turn blessed by her son. The godly woman of Proverbs chapter 31. Someday you'll have to take your Bible and read that. Proverbs chapter 31, this virtuous woman. It is said concerning her, verse 25, she shall rejoice in time to come. Hey, hard to rejoice when you're changing dirty diapers. Hard to rejoice when you got a mountain of clothes to wash. Hard to rejoice when you look around and there's a 500 pieces of clothes to iron. Hey, hard to rejoice, but stay with it, Mom. Hard to rejoice when your children, it seems like you never can get them in line. You get them straightened out today and looks like they're out of line tomorrow. And you're working on it constantly. And it seems like it's such a hard job. But stay with it, Mama. Stay with it, Mother. Someday she shall rejoice in time to come. He went on to say, her children arise up and call her blessed. Hallelujah. And isn't that what Mary said about her life? She said, generations to come shall call me blessed. Perhaps, Mama, you don't feel too blessed this morning. Perhaps the burden of motherhood still weighing heavy on you. Perhaps this morning the reality of things is that it's difficult. But I'm going to tell you something. Be faithful to God and love the Lord and praise God through it all and keep on teaching and training and leading those children. Someday you'll rejoice in time to come. Let's stand together. Play me a little of that song y'all sang, Mama. Let's just sing this chorus as we dismiss the service this morning. Make me a blessing. Just the chorus.
Make me a blessing.